Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hello, AfterBuzzers. You are watching Jane the Virgin on AfterBuzz TV. Today we are discussing Season 3, Chapter 46. So many emotions all over the place. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, AfterBuzzers. You are watching the Jane the Virgin After Show. I am your host, Stephanie Georgie. You can follow me on Twitter at Stephanie Georgie. Tonight, I'll have my wonderful panel of ladies. Introduce yourselves.
Okay, singing and dancing over here.
Go ahead.
Oh, I thought you were going to say...
I was going to dance.
It's Francesca. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at XOXOCESCA.
Hey everyone, I'm Natalie Tavidian, and you can find me everywhere at Natalie Tavidian.
Excellent. And before we get started, don't forget to follow us on Twitter, YouTube, iTunes, SoundCloud. Rate us 5 stars. Let us know what you think, and we can bring you as much as we possibly can. So tonight, Jane the Virgin, there is a lot of discussion of feelings.
Feelings.
But I thought it was really nice because it was the communication that I kind of appreciate.
I like it. I thought this episode was all about how everyone's so different, mm-hmm. but at the end, they're all family. They're yeah. all family.
And everyone is in a different place, if mm-hmm. you will.
Yeah, even from just, like, last episode.
Yeah, completely different. I mean, I don't know. I guess we'll go through it. Starting with, well, there's a lot that's going on, but I like to go, you know, save the best for last. And actually, tonight, some of you may not like it, but we'll get there in just a second. So we're going to start with Aneska, because she is...
How do people not see it? It is driving me insane.
She's starting to get a little bit better, even though we see her doubting herself, because she's talking to Magda, and she's mentioning how she, you know, couldn't blackmail Raph, which was what she was supposed to do, and wants to just sell the couches and leave town.
Yeah. Right, so we finally kind of get a glimpse of the plan. So the plan is to blackmail him, take the money, and leave. For this whole time, I've been wondering, like, what is the purpose? Why is she here? But I just have to say, she's so boy crazy.
But also because she came from a different place, she looked a different way, and she hadn't established the reputation and persona that Petra has. So she's getting an attention that she's never gotten before.
As someone else. How sad.
And now she's this beautiful, rich person.
Exactly.
Who is taking advantage of that, clearly.
And I'm willing to bet that Scott absolutely had fantasies of her all the time and all different ones.
Ew.
Besides, she also had a little
him.
Bit...
How does he not see it?
Well, because he's probably taking advantage of someone in a vulnerable place, you know? And Petra's been through a lot as well, and it doesn't matter. The fact that he wants him, she wants him, it's probably enough. Or... Mm-hmm. He mentions how he has dirt on everyone in Marbella. He could be doing the same thing.
Like, trying to get dirt on Petra,
exactly,
quote unquote.
And then finding out, you know what I'm saying? Because I keep thinking how when you're someone like in Scott's position, you're always around and observing things. And you might notice things that people don't realize that they're doing.
What is his position, by the way? He mentioned it, some made-up job?
No, he's Raph's assistant.
/ lounge something.
Manager? Well, he was acting as manager before, and now he's the personal assistant. But I could imagine him recognizing that it isn't Petra. Because everyone's too distracted with everything else, he's probably paying attention to the details.
Right. Well, Natalie, you pointed out when we were watching, right after they had sex, she said it was the best sex she ever had, but it was...
She said it with the Aneska accent.
Exactly. Yeah.
It was very subtle, but I... No, 100%. That was the Aneska accent.
Yes, especially because that was the best sex you ever had. And I'm no offense, Scott, but I know you're
Raphael.
Not that good. Yeah, come on,
fucker. Okay.
Exactly. So you know he could have peeped that out, but once he did, just had to keep running with it because he's like, wait a second. If you're not Petra, then what's going on?
Yeah.
Gene. So that's quite interesting. The plot thickens there. And I think it just kind of leaves it at that point because now she's willing to open up to Scott and that's about it. A can of worms is about to open up.
And
even though he's playing as if he wants to bring down Raph as well. Eyes.
I know, like...
She had to close her eyes.
Yeah.
Because she was like, oh my God, this is so horrible, and I can do nothing. I'm trapped.
Awful. Ew. I think one of my biggest fears is would be to ever be, like, buried alive or, like, drowning somewhere where you can't control what's going on. And that I feel like that's exactly, like...
Of course.
That must be the feeling. Like, suffocation. Like, drowning, and you can't do anything.
That's why, and this is a little vulgar to say, but my housemate, she says, that's why I would want to be cremated, because... There are situations in where they have found where the body isn't actually dead, you know?
That's just all kinds of messed up. Something happens where
they come back to like 40 minutes later, miracles, whatever, but they've opened graves where people have like moved, you know?
And
like
they clawed away at their caskets.
Yeah, something crazy.
This is very Halloween
now.
That's
what I know, right?
Very Halloween. Jane the Virgin gets spooky.
Well, it's annoying. Yeah, anyway, so we'll see what happens there. Let's see if Scott's a bad guy and he's really just trying to rip off both Aneska and Raph, or is he just in love with the idea that Petra's in love with him?
Right.
We don't know.
Well, he said, let's take down Raphael together.
Yeah,
so but I think he's just dumb and he's thinking with his other head and he's just lost
the sauce. It could be that, or he's trying to gain her trust so that, you know.
He can push her out too.
Mm-hmm.
So he can take over the place together.
So now we know that she's trying to blackmail him, but like, what exactly is she looking for on the computer? Did they say, or what do you guys think?
No, I think that Magda's just trying to get like bad things on him. They're just so that they can
finances
blackmail.
Yeah. And like,
she's downloading some files, but they don't make it clear what she's downloading or why she wants them.
I don't know.
She sat on the laptop, it was downloading something.
Yeah. Well, whatever bad things that they could find to, like, exploit him with.
Right.
Magda's tripping, even from prison, still trying to get him down. Like, talk about...
She tripping. It's all about the money. That's what she's always wanted.
But it's ridiculous, you know? Just no mercy. What a crazy... She's a psychopath. She's a sociopath.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Using both her daughters.
Exactly. I love the phone that she was using, though. That jail cell phone, it was, like, from 1991 95. Or something.
I didn't even have cell phones then. I guess they
came
did
out in the 80s.
Yeah, they did. Well, that was Zach's phone. Zach okay, so then moving forward, we have the situation with Xiomara. They do say it, which I was really surprised that she got an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
They called it a medical abortion. What was it? Something like that? Yeah. Or medication abortion.
She took a medication for the abortion.
She took a medication for the abortion.
She went to the doctor because she was having some pain.
Mm-hmm. And I just didn't think that they were going to say that, and especially because she didn't do it with Jane,
right.
But I don't know. How do you feel?
I thought that I was personally very feel risque like it is, for this show.
I thought it was risque, too.
Mm-hmm.
However, they've shown that not everyone's like that. They show an example, like Jane, whom didn't even have sex and still had the baby, so everyone's different. And in regards to perspective, Xiomara is older, and it is with someone who, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
She doesn't, it's not that she's saying no just because of the guy. She's saying no because no at all. Never again. I'm done.
Well, she said before she got pregnant, she didn't want kids. I'm kind of happy that they ended this plot. It just feels so weird saying ended in this conversation, but like ended this plot like right away.
Well, it's a tough conversation.
Because we can't. I don't know. It's tough.
We can't necessarily give your opinion to it. I agree. Yeah.
Well, not even about that. I'm just saying that I was wondering how long that they were going to, like, play this situation out. I remember I was saying, oh, maybe it's actually Rogelio's and it's not, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
but they were just
assuming
like, nope,
that could be it too.
We're done. Yeah. We're not taking this anywhere. It's over. But I think this is actually good because I feel like Xiomara and Rogelio are going to get, like, really
closer
close
for
again.
That. I
not
agree.
Even necessarily
they
for
make
that.
Such a beautiful
but
couple.
Just
they
get
would make such a beautiful couple.
I think it's good. And it just shows you also, like, that Catholic guilt that exists in the world and abuela's traditionalism and conservativeness.
Yeah.
And then I'm happy that they bring in the hippy-dippy stuff.
I love the hippy-dippy.
It's also okay to agree to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
And we learned that in the episode, which is great, we'll go into that a little bit later. But, yeah, that was kind of intense. And then we see Rogelio's only issue, of course, dealing with vanity.
I want a green smoothie in a mason jar.
A vegan smoothie.
The one time he didn't want himself out in the Twitterverse, he made that really bad mistake. And now he's in a PSA.
Right.
I love that.
PPSA.
I love the public service announcement. That was so funny.
Ridiculous, yeah. And then he was going, so him and Esteban were both going for a role for
NCIS. An American television.
Yes. And I guess he makes sense. And it was really nice to hear him say that that's why he's in the United States now. His family, his most, mm-hmm. like everything that's important to him is, you know, Xiomara, Jane, and Matelio.
I know. That, like, that scene where he was telling Xiomara that they had this, like, look. And that's part of the reason why I feel like they're going to grow close again this season, because
mm-hmm. I don't know. We all want that.
I think so, too, because now Aurelio's finally accepting it. Mm-hmm. And even though he still wants children, again, we don't know if Xiomara's going to change her mind, which in reality, she might not, because I feel like that sounds more realistic.
And she's very firm.
They have Mateo, and he has Jane. And it's just one of those acceptance things that he's just going to have to deal with also, because she had to deal with raising Jane on her own. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? We all have our sacrifices. Mm-hmm. But that's really interesting. However, I want to also mention Rogelio's relationship with Michael.
So cute.
That's the reason why I think, too, that you would... Yes. And that's why you would maybe fall in love with Michael, or I would fall in love with someone if you could have that relationship with your family that way. Mm-hmm. You know, where they understand, because...
That's his BFF.
Yeah. And he just talks... He's just so... He's so I don't know. Michael's
it's such a great dynamic.
It is, right?
Yeah, they paint it so well. It's such an awesome dynamic.
Oh, I love it. Yes, so...
And Michael wanted to help him with his American accent, bro.
Oh, my God, it's so funny. He
How
sounds,
cute was
yeah,
that?
I love it. He sounds like when my mom tries to say, like, specific things in English, too. I'm like,
Okay. Just be normal, Mom.
Just be normal, Mom. It's okay.
Do you.
But Michael's so sweet because he's doing all of this while he's recovering. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of sad.
He's such a fighter. Again, I think that whole the fighter character is still there. And he hasn't even accepted. He doesn't accept till the end that he is a victim. Mm-hmm. He's ignoring that. He's just like, okay, I got shot. Now we're going to get through this. I'm going to recover and I'm going to go right back to work. Mm-hmm. And it's going to happen in 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Which, that's how kind of people deal with it, right? Would you say it's shock? Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Have either of you ever been through something like that where you accepted a little bit later? No, I mean, nothing traumatic in the way, like him.
I think of it off the top of my head.
Where you just accept
I'll come back to you when I
do. I don't
know,
I feel like sometimes, you know, guys can be different with their emotions. I think mm-hmm. for me, I'd probably be just miserable for weeks.
Yeah.
And then eventually get over it, where he, like, just put it away to the side and deal with it. But I think it all depends on everyone's trauma, mm-hmm. you know? But that's kind of like... It's his job, so maybe he's, like, trying to just accept it as, oh, this is a part of work, right. It could have happened to anyone, but he wasn't really thinking about his, like, how it affects him personally. It was just more like his job.
His partner.
Which, we're still there. I don't know why that last episode they figured something out about Rose, but of course they wouldn't have, because Rose is still dead.
Yeah.
I wonder, though, there was a theory.
And she didn't come back this episode, so.
Yeah. Oh, man. There was something that I read, and I asked them to remind me. I don't know if they tweeted me or not. But there was a theory about them finding out that Susanna is someone who's been dead for a while, and that maybe he'll find out again, because that's, like, pretty crazy.
Well, I think Raphael's sister's going to come into play eventually with this.
Mm-hmm. I think he's going to find out through something that has to do with the partner. Either... She comes back around, and he's like, oh, my God, you're arrested for this, this, and that. And she says, no, it's not her. Or he does some investigations and finds out that she's not real or that she's already passed. Even though I find that hard to believe, considering you can't just join the police force.
Wait, was she ever real? Do we know this?
I would think so. I mean, you can't just create that face unless he stole a face from someone who passed and changed the name. Well, if that was Rose, then Rose is more than capable of doing that.
Yeah.
I just don't see how...
That would be crazy, just creating this new identity.
Yeah, but I don't see... But didn't Luisa and Susanna, didn't they have sex or something like that? Hadn't they been intimate? Wouldn't she have known that she was wearing a mask?
You would think... Well, see, I'm confused by that, because I thought they had just completely changed the faces, because that's what they were doing underneath the hotel anyways, was reconstructing people's faces. So when she pulled off her mask in that episode, I was actually slightly confused, because mm-hmm. I was like, why wouldn't she have just changed
her face? Done it permanently.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I do think Luisa's going to play a part in this, because even though she's not always in every episode, Raphael's going to realize, like, hey, wait a minute, where's my sister?
Yeah.
And she's very smart.
Who?
I think Lisa.
She's crazy, but she's smart. She's smart.
She also was a doctor after being, you know, an alcoholic and everything. Went through
accidentally,
school.
Artificially inseminated.
Yeah, I mean, and again, this is
and
because
that's why we're all here.
Go back. Something triggered, and you know, she fell back into her ways, if you will. So, yeah, I think she's gonna figure something else. Hopefully, like a sense, like her morals will come back and just be like, no, I need my brother, my nephew, and so on and so forth. Or she'll see that Rose is actually a psycho and is not good for her.
Or she's just going to get tired
of obsessed with her.
Well, donuts. She is, because you want something you can't have. And now that she has Rose, and if Rose is going to be completely possessive over Lisa, she's going to be like, oh, you
she's
know what?
Get over
Never
it.
Mind. I don't want this. Ooh, let's hope that that's what actually ends up happening. And so, yeah. Well, anyways, that's what's going on with Rose and Michael. But Michael now Jane has these nightmares. Which is pretty sad.
Jane
the married virgin, yeah. She has these nightmares, and I mean, it's trauma, of course. But she has it for 4 weeks.
And it's nonstop, and she's exhausted. But then she figures it out. She gets into a routine, and it's kind of getting better.
Which, that's nice, because, I mean, I think routine is very important. Yeah.
So, I don't think it was actually 4 weeks later. I think she was dreaming.
That was part of the dream,
yeah,
right?
That was part of the dream. That she was dreaming, it was 4 weeks later, and she was still dreaming.
Oh, really?
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
I mean, it does show them over time, because he's, you know, able to walk and all that.
And then he has to go home and has to go through that process.
Yeah,
okay.
But she was just like, she just kept dreaming and dreaming and dreaming.
That's a really real situation. In fact, there was the similar situation in the show The Fosters, because the cop in that show is Stephanie. Her partner, Lena, is a teacher, but anyway, Stephanie gets shot also, almost passes, and then right before they get married, she has to, like, accept and forgive her, and accept, like, you know, forgive that shot wound, and love her for all of her. So that's something very real, you know, to be scared that someone's gonna be out, what do you call that, out in the field.
Yeah, that's back out on the field right after dealing with a situation like that. Jane is dealing with so much as a newlywed.
And he wasn't even out in the field.
Much. Yeah.
I know.
He's just involved. That's just part of that, just... Was collateral. He was collateral damage at that point.
But it also, that damage comes from Jane as well. So he was just already kind of just trapped in this web.
I get afraid that Michael's love will still end up being just that greatest love, meaning he's going to love her so much that he'll do anything, like the narrator continues to say, until his last breath.
That just gave me goosebumps. He is not taking his last breath anytime.
I don't think it won't be this season.
I don't think so either.
I think eventually in the future, I think...
Something might happen to him.
No, I love Michael. Nothing's happening to him.
But it's so great. She's so good.
Hashtag optimist.
Right?
Well, she's sleeping, you know, with him at the hospital every day. Then they, you know, Abuela gets the house ready. And we finally figure out why she's always wearing scrubs. Because she's...
I love that.
She's a... What is
she,
it?
In she's home, a caregiver.
Caregiver, yeah. Jane's dealing with... Mateo, we see in the beginning where he's crying because he wants his food, and then she takes it away.
The poor kid is just surrounded by so much stress.
Yeah.
He's lashing
and
out.
It's passing on to him.
And that's why, and they're right about, or the lady from the preschool is right about getting back into a routine, because the child just needs, like, repetitiveness so that he can learn motions instead of just seeing so much going on at once.
Right. But it's also for her benefit, too, because sidebar, she's, you know, dealing with that stuff. And it's good for Michael. Yeah, it's just good because they had, like you said, there's so much going on for newlyweds,
which I love. Jane. I absolutely love the moment, and I feel like that was the first real marriage moment that I saw
the
between
honeymoon.
Them. The honeymoon when he says, "I called you mom earlier because you've been caregiving and everything else, because that's something my mother would say, and you know that's why she has to worry about me, but."
Let me take care of you.
And that absolute, like,
so
well done,
cute.
Sir. Well done. Yeah, because that's his wife. It's different. You're partners. You're on the same page. So it was,
and he was like, it's okay that you're struggling with this. Let's get through this together. Let's go walk those halls together.
Well,
they're so good at communicating.
They're just,
the
they're
two
literally
of them.
They are.
Perfect for each other.
They are.
It's so cute. It's not sickening cute.
Kind of like
it's
they're best friends, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh, best friends.
I'll get into that a little bit. I'll get into that a little bit. No, they're best friends. And I do love that because he's so incredible. Even in the moment when they're sitting in the bed together and he's talking to Xiomara and stuff like that. Like, he's, you know what
he's like in it now. Yeah. He's in the thick of it. He's sitting there with all the drama.
He reminds me of Joey and Dawson.
Dude, I cannot remember. I obviously grew up watching the show, but I don't remember any plots about it.
Dawson's Creek was my life. For any of you who watch The Fosters, you know I'm in love with Chris Smith and everyone on that show. Joshua Jackson, oh my God, James Van Der Beek, everyone. But in regards to just kind of knowing each other, that's why sometimes you can't let go of it. And again, that love is there, and I'm not denying it. And it probably could be the greatest thing, but... Okay, hold on.
Where are you going with this? What are you going to do to Michael?
I know, I was just going to say, be prepared for this. At least all of you guys have a solid Team Michael over here. Natalie's got y'all, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let me continue more with just saying that,
Do we have a solid group of Team Michael supporters?
Oh, there are only Team Michael supporters.
Only?
Yeah, Francesca and I are the only ones, I believe.
That are
Team Raph.
No teams.
Oh, no, I have friends. Okay, I have no teams, but I have to say that my heart... Maybe a little bit heavier on one side.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, good. So,
okay.
Again,
we
love Michael and everything else. So we come back to the co-parenting.
Yes.
We have Raph and Jane who have done a wonderful job. We've seen Raph completely transform as a person, which is not to give any discredit to Michael, considering he's been a solid person, has gone through the 100%. Most, right? Incredible. But Raph... Baby.
Rap,
Papi, I love you. I love you. He says, I'm finally over you. However, this kind of sounds like something he said before when he said, I don't love you. He said that before for a reason, to give her distance, to keep her safe. And maybe now he's done some more thinking like I said, I even wrote it down. I'm like, it's now that she's married, there's no hope. When you see someone walk down the aisle, you're like... Okay, and you have to trust that you love...
That was the prescription.
Yes, that was the prescription, and I feel like if you love someone so much, you love them for a good reason, and because they're a good person, you have to believe that had that woman walked down the aisle with you, that it would be done also. You know, trust in her decision. You're allowed to be hope, give up hope, not in a bad way, just in a respectful
way. Because if he loves her so much, and this is the road she chose... You have to accept that and be happy. I don't think he's completely over her.
So you two are not buying the new friendship phase.
No, I'm buying it.
I'm buying it too. But that's still an act of love.
Yeah. It's like...
And that is the mother of his child.
So you feel like he has to do it. He has to enter the friendship phase.
No, I think it's easier to enter the friendship phase. Okay. He's like, you know what? She's going to be in my life forever, and at least I have that, and at least we have this beautiful relationship, which essentially is what every co-parent dreams of.
Oh, yeah.
You know, is to not have that animosity, to not have that, like, hate, because how do you not miss someone every now and again?
But then he has that whole struggle with, do I want to do everything she wants?
Do I want what she wants?
I have to have my voice, and we see that. That's probably real true. I mean,
I feel like even if she hadn't married Michael, he needed to get to that point anyways. And anyone, like, if you always are doing things for someone else, you are sacrificing yourself, and you still have to have your ground. So I think he would have come around to that regardless. I think it just came faster because... they got married, but I think also...
The prescription.
Yeah, it's just, like, it needed to be done. And you could tell he was a little apprehensive to, like, mention it, but he's like, I'm just going to do it, and I'm going to tell you and get it all out. You know, I need to stand up for myself.
Yeah, because he's being...
What did Jane say? Congratulations.
Yeah. She was so shocked, and honestly, it was either that part, or it was the part where she's like, but we are a family. I was just like, ugh, tears. Yes. Oh my God. I don't know why I'm feeling so emotional. Like, because it's like, they love each other, and it's like almost like this when Romeo and Juliet.
Hippy dippy school.
Yeah.
Holding hands.
Right? It's almost like this, you know, modern day American Romeo and Juliet where they love each other, but like, it just can't be. And so I think that was just like.
That's true. Let's piggyback off of the hippy dippy stuff because this is the preschool. I really like that they went from going, this is an issue, like where do you take your kid to school? Where do you go to mold your child, essentially? Yeah. And they go start with this Catholic school and like this day and age, as much as I believe religion is very important, I think that maybe now what's not so good is to put someone in such a restricted place, because I'm Catholic. Every Catholic friend that I have that went to Catholic school had a horrible experience, because when you force it upon someone, it just doesn't resonate as well as you'd like it to. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you introduce it to them and allow them to make a choice, it settles a little bit differently. And I love that they went to this school, especially because of the perspective that some people have, which they both had, like, oh, look at these crazy weirdos. But how did this
because
woman...
the first thing the teacher said is, we don't care if they get out of here knowing how to do math, their reading, or, you know, academic. She was speaking of academics. Yes. We care that they get out. I don't remember if she said something about holding a conversation or something.
Having feelings or
sharing their feelings, expressing their feelings.
Yes, because we find out now in this generation.
How many adults have that issue?
But that's what I'm saying. We find out now that that's such a problem. We find out now that what we say to our kids, and this is why we have to be careful, it goes with them for the rest of their lives until their mid-20s, when they now have to go to therapy because they're talking about something that they remember when they were children. And that's so beautiful, because people hold too much in. Mm-hmm. You know?
Very true.
And so that's why I love that. And I was like, oh, look at them find this place. And because they were able to learn something from this school, why wouldn't you want to put your kid in there?
And Mateo clearly needs some zen with all the arguing.
Absolutely. Well said, zen. Yeah.
Chomp, chomp. Poor kid.
Now I know when I'm snapping, I'll be like, okay, I know what's going on here.
I need routine.
Oh, exactly.
And Jane says she's been biting too.
Yeah. But okay, now, and then to piggyback off of what you said, that moment when she says, no, we are a family, that just, Jane is a strong person, so she says what she wants, which is what Raph is learning from her, and which is probably why Raph loves her, because he's so inspired by her. Mm-hmm. But then we see Jane again when she has to understand, she gets it that people are people, and that you just have to kind of accept it, and that she does love Raph at the end of the day. But this is what becomes confusing, is because...
As a co-parent,
but I don't know why with them, even in a situation like this, why do I feel or see passion?
Because it's what I want. Am I because of what you want? I think it is that too, but
No.
What if the writers are saying... we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah,
but every time you guys are together, you just have to remember that something's there and let that seep through what's written as your dialogue. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like as an actor, that's very difficult to portray. So well done to the both of them that that's the case. But I think that's a possibility.
Yeah, I think they're keeping it that way. Because, like I said, I think they genuinely both love each other. It's just, obviously, they can't love each other the way that, you and I, Steffi, would have hoped at this point in time.
Yeah.
I am happy, though, that he's trying. Like, you could tell me anything. We're friends. We could talk about this. Because I think in the long run, that's just going to keep providing, like, a really good relationship for them and a really good co-parenting, like...
Yeah. I think that's what gets them closer, and then she gets to see him in a different light, you know, because so far they've each played their role where he tries to not love her and then she doesn't love him, and then now they're both mutual. But for that moment when he's like, oh, I'm over you, and she's like, okay, even when she's like, okay, I get it, you repulse me, like,
yeah,
every woman's gonna love the fact that, damn, my baby daddy and my man loves me right now, and I feel comforted and secured, especially with a woman who didn't grow up with a father, regardless of how well her surroundings were. It's nice to have all these male figures in your life. Why would you want to eliminate any of that?
And they are all great.
Mm-hmm. And Raph is wonderful. Lucky. Like, he has his bad ways, but he's human, just like Michael. Michael's an angel. I mean, God. No, Michael is perfect, and that's what makes me so sad.
Perfect.
But it's real to...
Were those margaritas they were drinking?
They were, again, perfect.
To talk about Mateo's biting issue on their makeshift honeymoon. Yeah. That was too cute.
But wouldn't you think that that'd be great? God, I'm talking so much, guys. I'm like, wait, this... Hold on. I'm trying to communicate with y'all how I feel about all of this. But that's why I said I wanted to save the rough thing for last, because I still see something. I still feel something.
I think Raph needs to start dating.
He was like messing around with females, but it just wasn't the same. I think he will date someone.
Yeah, no.
Maybe he might fall for her and be with this person, but
And you know what's weird is I always forget that he has the twins with Petra. I always forget about that. So I'm wondering if that...
Yeah, they mentioned it for a quick second.
Yeah, today they mentioned... Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if the twins are going to be... Like, his children with Petra are going to be in the... Like, any point of, like, a main story point at all this season? Mm-hmm. Or it's just going to be, like, this side happened. Stuff? And I did... Someone commented, and I mentioned this last week, that he's going to have love interest, and we're going to see how it's going to affect, like, co-parenting, stuff like that. So I'm curious to see, because he has three kids, like, how is he going to have girls? You know what I mean?
Right. Especially because any girl who dates him have to deal with two baby mamas.
Two baby mamas.
Wasn't there a thing with him and Petra for a second, though?
There again? Was, but remember until when he had sex with Aneska? Like, yeah, and I can't help but think, and this is what gives me hope, and again, what gives hope to all of the Jane and Michael lovers, that had he had sex with Petra, it would have been different. Have,
yeah.
And I think he would have felt something. I don't think it would have been empty as it was with Aneska.
Again, how does he not see it?
Yeah. I know. She's...
Because you wouldn't think that, even if you did. Even if you were like, that's weird. If I didn't know any better, I would think that she switched bodies and it's, you know, Petra in the bed and Aneska, blah, blah, blah. But why would that, you know, I mean, yeah. You should believe
with
it, but it's a novella.
With the accent and the brown hair, and I get it.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually, and forgive me, I kind of want to go back to one thing that I didn't mention. The part when Mateo bites Michael... Going back to Michael.
Mm. Oh, yes. Yeah.
This is good.
Key point.
Yes, key point. And she says, I'm so sorry. And, you know, this and that.
I have to comfort the victim.
I have to play comfort along. The victim, right. It's so crazy how later things happen. And this really does happen in life. How things hit you.
Yeah.
And it was like a trigger word. That
I almost
one,
cried there.
It's like he accepted that he was the victim there and he wasn't able to defend her and wasn't, you know, he was caught out of left field.
And then he said he will leave his job.
Mm-hmm.
But Jane knows how much he loves being in the police force.
And remember that he's a fighter, you know, and everything puts, again, perspective. And she's like, oh, wow, this is where the support comes from. And, like, it was sad to see him like that.
Yeah. Like, that was, like, a genuine cry.
Yeah.
Like, he...
Because it made us,
yeah,
like,
and like you said,
up.
He almost died. And, like, for a moment, he wouldn't have had, you know, mm-hmm. Jane. He wouldn't have had Mateo anymore. That's crazy.
I think it's crazy how many times he went back and forth on quitting the job.
Yeah. And how he said he would have for Jane.
Yeah.
But I think that's real. Ultimately, you mm-hmm. would do that for the love of your life. And in a job like that, once it gets so bad and there's too much at risk, which now he mm-hmm. has a family... That's almost you responsible, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like regardless if he's on the force or not, there's always this danger because it, like I said, it involves Jane
the types of people
and Raphael. Right. And so it's kind of just going to be there regardless.
It's dangerous because there's a killer on the loose.
It's dangerous because this is a novella.
Right. It's dangerous. Okay. Well, how do you ladies feel?
Scared?
Your predictions scare me.
Can we talk about really fast that they've been cleared to have sexy time?
Oh, right. Let's get to that.
And then it just ends.
No, right. But, I mean, that's pretty exciting and that's crazy that they still haven't had sex. And did you
Jane
hear
the
part? He's like,
version.
Press me. I won't take long.
Yeah, for the preview. It would be like 2 minutes and it would be like, that was great.
That was super great. On that note, let's go into predictions.
Yes.
Oh, wait, what's our new prediction song? I mean, dance.
I almost forgot. Thanks for reminding me.
Pump, 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 get it. Yeah. It says, you know, goodbye, Jane the Virgin. Never mind.
I feel like they might hold off one more episode.
I think they might hold off, like, five more. You know? Next week's episode might be an extension of just what's going on with that.
I don't know. It has to happen... Very soon, I feel like. I feel like if it doesn't happen this next episode, it's going to happen
mm-hmm.
the following
one. Do you think they're going to make it something
She can't
huge?
Be Jane the Married Virgin.
Yeah.
Much longer.
No, she can't. I'm hoping that when they do, it's not going to be like, they're both going to be like.
It's going to be like 6 minutes later.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, I hope it doesn't affect anything. I don't think so. I think their relationship is strong.
There's
but just
so
like,
much chemistry. It's going to be...
Do you know what I mean? Saying, like how in real life, when you have something with somebody and then you guys hook up or you kiss and you're like,
oh, shit. Oh, my God.
So you want to be friends?
That's what she's been waiting for.
No, because that's true. You're right. Sometimes there's just nothing there.
So if anything, it's like that it might be
stop crazy. It.
No, they're not going to get divorced just because their sex wasn't good.
They've had passion and stuff, yeah. And she's kissed and done things like that. But at the end of the day, that's what makes her naiveness there. She's able to stay good because she's literally still good. Her innocence. Mm-hmm. And I know people think that this is like not real. I believe that like with, you know, a held virginity does provide that still in a person. And I know that's really weird, but no?
I mean, yeah. Because I think just now and today, everyone's just quick to jump in the bed. So. Yeah. But I do think they've gotten to know each other without sex. So they really know each other and they really love each other. But I'm curious to see if it is kind of like womp womp, if they're gonna, right. if she's gonna like for
no,
a minute just be like,
chemistry there. What and we love
no,
Michael.
No, no, no. Yeah, but like he said, again. Trust me, it's not gonna take long. If that's the case, I promise you that not taking long, that's gonna be her first time and she's gonna be like, okay.
Like this, it's gonna be like a thing. Like, oh my God, Mom, it was.
You know, maybe the subject of sex will become a bigger thing. Yeah. Maybe sex.
Maybe they'll get more scared when they get there, and maybe they don't know how to get into it, or maybe after the trauma, it affects their sexual activity.
Could be.
But I don't think it's gonna be like, oh, we not that don't love each other. We don't like each other. It's gonna be like it might be like. A little bump.
Another challenge
right. to get
because
over.
Because as newlyweds, they're not dealing with enough challenges right now.
for Louise, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, okay. I don't know if we said predictions,
I don't know. I don't really know. It's a good prediction.
That was more or less a prediction that we think that maybe things aren't going to be so good once the V card's turned in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know what? I guess I can predict that they're going to be getting into their new home because we see Rogelio's there with everyone and
the minute they get there.
The
right.
plan.
Like we're ready.
Yeah, to get stuff ready for the house.
So maybe we'll get busy. But regardless, when that happens, there is going to be some awkward tension. And I just want to see how Michael's already been inexperienced for quite some time. So I want to know if he's going to know how to deliver it for her. And or he is going to be like so nervous out of his mind that he can't.
And they don't have
a man wants to perform well. And if it's her first time and that's your wife, the pressure is on.
I agree.
Holy cow. Ladies, where can they find you on social media?
Natalie Tavidian everywhere, @ Natalie Tavidian.
And Twitter and Instagram, XOXOCESCA.
Excellent. Thank you all so very much for watching. My name is Stephanie Georgie. You can follow me on Twitter @ Stephanie Georgie and on Instagram @ Stephanie Georgie. We'll see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.